Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah.
Eidik Mabruk. Happy Hanukkah. Do I have to know somebody's religious bona fides and background to wish them a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a joyous Mabruk, a happy Kwanzaa, a spectacularly secular solstice? Do we need to really wear gang signs in order to identify our backgrounds and theologies so that we know the exact appropriate way to greet each other and wish each other peace and comfort and joy, to show to each other that we care about one another, to share ourselves with one another? Now, this is not a completely rhetorical question or series of questions, even in the way that I've kind of offhandedly thrown out these various questions, because we are involved in our society and in our world with trying to identify who we are and what we are and what we believe. We are trying to keep apart the holy and the secular, the church and the state, where others want to join the church and the state, usually with disastrous results, and still others want to try to sanctify the secular and the ordinary with not such disastrous results. But it's a very confusing topic, and I have to tell you that I am very conflicted, because part of me, and some of the sermon 2 weeks ago, I talked about all of those common roots that our great religious festivals have, how they come from the same place, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. And in some ways, we can blend them all into a solstice celebration and make it secular and make it safe. But isn't that a kind of suppression of who we are? And doesn't it to some extent play against the fear of being real and of making real contact? Now, I wish that I had a sermon that I could give you that had answers, but as Unitarian Universalists, you don't get those. You just get the questions and you get to wrestle with the questions. I don't know how to greet people. I find myself bothered by the season's greeting because it is so safe and it is so generic. And the fact is, we have lots of ways of celebrating this time of year. And they are individual and they are traditional and they are, dare I say, religious. We bring with us some baggage. When someone comes up to me and wishes me a Merry Christmas, it's not important that they know my ethnicity. It's not important that they know my theology. And I can't remember the last time when I yelled at them, "But just a second, what kind of Christmas are you wishing me? Are you wishing me one where, and what do you mean by angels? And what position do I have to take in terms of virgins?" I know, just don't go there. Just finish your own story on that one. I heard that. She said missionary. It's not about the theologies. We do come from different backgrounds and different traditions as human beings. And these are rich. And these form us and inform who we are. One of the things that at times drives me crazy in Unitarian Universalism is when we go through our songbooks and we edit out the theologies that are unfashionable this season. So that 30 years ago we edited out God and put in man. And then we were told, uh-oh. Then we edited out man and put God back in, but made sure Lord wasn't there. So we've gotten theologically squishy, but at least we are genderly kind of focused. I don't get it. I don't get it. Our songs are part of our traditions. And to take them seriously without taking them literally is not an impossible task. To look at our wonderful human traditions that we have, that we bring to this season, that we bring to every season, to me, only enriches us. Our holidays and our holy days express something of our own history and our own memory. Those histories have difficult parts to them, just as American history has difficult parts, but we accept a totality of it as being our story. Our various faith traditions tell a story and place us in time. They give us something that happens before our birth and a continuation of a story that happens beyond our death. They root us so that we don't just fly around in time, this spark of consciousness in between two eternities of darkness. For me to celebrate Christmas is not much of a stretch. For me to share the joys of Hanukkah, to celebrate Eid, to be reminded of what they mean in each of our traditions, to me is not an imposition. I think we would be a much drier, less interesting society if we only had that one generic seasonal holiday that begins at the close of Thanksgiving and goes until New Year's, and which we will just put them all together like a valley girl saying, oh my God, into Hanamas Kwanzaa Solstice. The fear of being specific, well, there is a Christ in Christmas. Okay, that's fine, isn't it? I don't want to establish a state religion. The Establishment Clause worries about government endorsing religion. And it worries rightly because when a government committee gets together to try to figure out what's kosher and what's not kosher, to mix the metaphor, I've already done it, to figure out what's kosher and what's not kosher, you get silliness. So that one particular municipality has decided that a Christmas tree is not Christian, a Chanukiah is not Jewish, a crescent is not Muslim, but a creche is. When you start getting into this labeling, we get into areas that infringe on our freedom to express who we are, our freedom to share in some ways unafraid what informs our souls and gives light to our lives. I don't think we need to be afraid of the facts and of the sharing. They can go too far. It's true. I can be offended when I understand the irony of what I'm about to say, believe me, but sharing your faith is one thing, preaching it to me is another. Preachy, I don't like. What can I tell you? I guess I appreciated that irony before you did. Now, wishing me a Merry Christmas, wishing my wife a Merry Christmas, is fine. My wife was given this card. In his hands, the hands of our Creator, Lord and King of heaven above, they are the Savior hands forever reaching out to us in love. The hands that shaped the universe and flung the stars, our nail-pierced hands of the dying man who suffered in our place. This cross is somewhat of a border for me, but it was not an intentional infliction. It was from people whom we know to be good-hearted and kind and sweet. These give us opportunities of angry moments or of teaching moments, of distancing moments or of bridging and bonding moments. the issues that are raised are important. Right now in France, they are going through a very painful dialogue where the French president has proposed that girls, specifically directed at Muslim girls, not be allowed to wear scarves to school, and that Jewish boys not be allowed to wear kippot to school, and that Christians not be allowed to wear crucifixes beyond a certain size. I want to be in on the committee meeting that decides what size the crucifix needs to be. But 6 centimeters is out of the question. What are you talking about? It must be 5, huh? This is why you separate church and state. I mean, now they're dealing, this isn't hate speech, they're dealing with a legitimate issue. The legitimate issue that they're dealing with is with 6 million Muslims who in France who are not necessarily of this generation assimilationists and are distancing themselves, there is a legitimate fear that religious attire can translate itself into gang attire. So that the Jewish kids will wear the kippot and the Muslim kids will wear something, and the Christian kids will wear something, and they will bring themselves into gang conflict. That's a legitimate issue. That the solution is no solution is just French. No, it's just governmental. I don't want to pick on the French. We could come up with something as crazy. Because, in fact, gangs find ways of identifying themselves even when you get rid of whatever the outward signs are. But they are wrestling with legitimate issues and legitimate social concerns about how do you have a secular society when people more and more specifically identify themselves by ethnicity, by religion, and by sub-branches of those religions. This is an important discussion to have. But I'm not sure that you start the discussion with suppression and repression, because that seldom works. We are who we are, and we bring ourselves to every interaction and to every exchange that we have with our friends and with our acquaintances. Religion is just not simply a system of beliefs, but a way of being in the world. When we look at the great religions, when we look at the great religions at this time of the year, the commonality is what should strike us. The symbols, the two great symbols of this season are light and food. The lights of Hanukkah that say, they're not about a military victory. They're about an internal and eternal light that will not go out. There is the metaphor that Jew and Christian and Muslim all use for enlightenment. Muhammad sat in the cave and the angel spoke to him and illuminated on the wall the writings on the openings of the Quran. The lights of Hanukkah aren't about parlor tricks with oil or military victories. They are about lights that seem to burn out and days that seem to grow dark, but a promise of a spark and of a beacon that will return again. It's not accidental that this is picked up in the Gospels, and Jesus says, I am the light and the way. Light and enlightenment are fundamental to Jew, to Christian, to Muslim, to Zoroastrian. The dates that we have, I told you, precede the events that they commemorate. Hanukkah was celebrated way before there were Maccabees at the temple. December 25th was celebrated as the birthday of Mithra and of Saturn, long before the birth of an historic Jesus. These are the things that tie us together, along with food. The foods of Hanukkah has never been a temple synagogue holiday. It's a family holiday. It's a time where that altar is brought inside the home and is the dining room table. It's the candles, it's the family, it's the warmth, it's the food. That's a James Carville line. It's the food, stupid. Or actually, in the case of Hanukkah, it's the stupid food. Because Hanukkah is essentially about oil. And so for thousands of years, Jewish people have gathered around the table and stared death in the face by eating brisket and latkes and donuts and anything that was cooked in oil, because that is the symbolism. Christmas, long before it was about gift-giving and it was commercialized, was about people gathering around a table and sharing food and taking communion that isn't called communion. It is sharing in the miracle of life together, a miracle of life where we cook, where we share, where we laugh, where we sing, where we huddle together against the darkness, and we feed each other and share in those miracles of light and of hope. In Islam, food is also central. The third pillar of the five pillars of wisdom, the Khamsa Arkan, Khamsa Farud, the third pillar is tzedakah, or in Hebrew, tzedakah. Same word, same root. It means to remember the hungry and the poor and to feed them. So when I was living in North Africa and people wished me Eid Mabruk, congratulations on the holiday, it's my holiday too. Christmas is mine, Hanukkah is mine, Ramadan is mine, the solstice is mine. From whatever religious tradition, from whatever secular tradition, our common humanity unites us and enriches us. That's why 35 years ago, I instituted the first ethnic breads communion that was done, as far as I know, in Unitarian Universalism, where we bring together our different breads from our different traditions and heritages, or in some cases from the heritages we wish we'd had. We're Unitarians. We can get unstuck ethnically and go wherever we want to. And the symbolism was so clear. Bread is universal, but its form is different. Human beings need to be together to celebrate our anxieties and our hopes with light, with life, with food, with song, are absolutely universal. So we have different foods and different forms of lights and different songs. We can be terrified by them. We can kings X each other, and you know what that means. We can try to rid our society of anything that smacks of religiosity, but it's a failure. It doesn't work. It doesn't work any more than banishing a certain form of attire works. We do far more to teach tolerance by practicing it as opposed to fearing the other and fearing the different. Invite it in. Merry Christmas. It's not a theological statement. It's a statement of joy, and it's a statement of hope. Happy Hanukkah. Have a wonderful solstice. Name them all. It's fine. Seasons, greetings. I think that's unconstitutionally vague. Understand where people are coming from and don't preach. And I was looking at Hanukkah cards yesterday for the kids, and I saw some Hanukkah cards that were very preachy. And I would have bought one and brought it in, except I wouldn't have bought one and brought it in. I didn't want to reinforce that card being printed again next year. We share our joys. We don't have to share our specific theologies. We share the intent when somebody says something and we have an opportunity to build a bridge or to dig a trench. And I vote for building the bridges. I vote for accepting the other, for telling people if they've gone across a line who we are and what is dear to us, but not with the idea of putting down and putting off or sending away, but with the idea of informing people, share our bread with one another, share the wonderful differences of race, of culture, of gender, of orientation that we have with one another, not with fear, but with consideration. This is a wonderful time of the year for us to share the things that we care about and the things that we value. It's a time to understand that the darkness comes and that in every life there are midnights of the soul. And those midnights are much better when we share them with someone, when we hold hands in the darkness and create warmth by shaking together and holding each other. There is war and hatred and poverty out there, and this is a season that calls us not to avert our gaze and just make merry in ignorance of the world, but to look at the heart of the hungry and the homeless, and to see ourselves in their eyes, and then to do something about it, to feed the hungry, to plead for the widow and orphan, to be a part of a greater humanity, a humanity far greater than any one faith tradition, but that recognizes that faith in ourselves, in our world, in our sky is warranted, but we are part of the sunrise. It is not simply sitting in a cave and waiting for the spring. We bring the spring by what we do with and for each other in those dark winters. We are life givers. And I am grateful to be a part of this life-giving, sustaining community.